For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and we are just your bond servants for Jesus' sake. Now, please, my emphasis is verses 3 and 4, where he explained that if people don't understand the gospel, it is because there is a blindness that is over their minds, and that blindness is because the devil, he said, the God of this world has blinded their minds so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. Now, please, listen to this. All right, just look up. Those days, I remember one particular day, we were supposed to go and preach one on campus. One of my friends was going to coordinate it, and he had read some of the talk about believers' authority that Ken Hagin taught us, all right? So I remember that particular day, when he came, he gathered us and he said that the reason why people don't believe is because the devil has blinded their eyes, just reading the scripture. So what we are going to do is that we are going to join hands and rebuke the devil that has blinded people's eyes. Anybody that listens to us today, must understand. So we join hands, and believe me, I'm not joking. No. We're going from room to room on campus. You see, everybody was waiting for us to preach. The number of people that day that responded to the gospel we were preaching, it was unprecedented. I remember one particular young woman that came from another fellowship. She was not in our own fellowship, but her friend said, we are going for room-to-room evangelism on campus. So she said, let me come along. That day, she was so excited. She said, please, next time, they should just tell her. She was not a member of our fellowship, but then she must never miss this thing. Because the thing was just like breeze. That day, you know, you will enjoy preaching. Just come in, praise the Lord, you know. The soul that sinned, it shall die. Quote a few scriptures. Do you want to give your life to Christ? Why not? Why not? First is already on the knees. I said, this prayer is good, though. The Lord is good. Now, we're speaking specifically about people that you love. And I think there's a lesson from that. All right? Sometimes, when you talk about the God of this world, there's an interpretation that the law of us Christians give it. It says Satan is controlling the earth. No, that's not what it's saying. All right? It's just that the things that people worship, all right, is what blinds them. That's where Satan gets his power from. Now, what am I going to explain here? You see, people, now, very common. If you have a friend or a brother who's doing very well, is very busy with business, those are the people that are, and they are not believers, they often are very difficult to reach because everything is working well. Let me put it like that. That's part of the manifestation of the blindness that the God of this world puts over their faces. Let me quickly tell this story. I've told it here before, but it came back to my mind now, and I think it's very applicable to what we are discussing. I told the story. Now, don't forget again, God can reach anybody. So don't give up on any of your loved ones. Just continue praying for the person. There is a man I told you, he was about 70 years of age when he was telling this story, a little over 70. He grew up as a prince in Benin Kingdom. The Oba of Benin then was his brother, yes. I think the Oba of Benin that time was his brother, yes, it was his brother. And he grew up in the palace in Benin. And traditional worship was what he did. And he said that, now this is a statement I want you to understand. He said that his wife used to go to church and the children used to go to church. And he didn't see anything wrong with their going to church. That's the God he wanted to serve him. As for my own gods, these were his words, they have been good to me. He worshipped literally idols, literal. Graven images. He had them literally in his house. He said some of them, maybe he had to sacrifice a fowl every day. Some of them, a woman mustn't touch. Some, water must not touch. All of them were in a special room in his house. And he had no problem with his children going to church and their mother going to church and they are praying. It didn't bother him. Because, he's used to many gods. So what's the one these people are serving now? Jesus Christ. Where is his image? They don't even have image for him. I've seen one or two photographs. But I remember this was at a full gospel businessman function in Benin. The man said, my own gods have been good to me. He was a chartered accountant trained in the UK, all right? He said he had children. These were the things he said. He said, I had children. I had a good home. He said, those days when Naira was like 75 kobo to the dollar, I had over 1 million. In today's day, it's like having 300 million Naira. He said that money was not a problem. His background, he had an influential background. He was well-educated. If you hear him speak, all right, good, clean, English has been polished by the Queen's people. You understand? Good English. He said, so why change gods? That is the story. How did he give his life to Christ? His wife and his children were praying that God will deliver their father from idolatry. He did not know that, though. There was a room in the house nobody entered but him. The wife and the children, they are always praying. And apparently was a good man. Didn't think anything of it. Until one night, he said he woke up at 3 a.m. and he knew somebody woke him up. Now get the point. This was a man that was in the occult. He was deep in the occult. He understood spiritual power. He said, if you have been there, you will know when a power, more powerful than your own power, is talking to you. He said, somebody woke him up and instantly he knew whoever it is has more power than I have. He didn't see anybody, but he was hearing instructions. The person said, get up. Enter into your strong room. Another room that only him used to enter. He said, I told him to take bags. So he took two bags, entered the place, and packed all the gods, all the sacrifices, all the amulets, all the things there. He packed them into the bags. So the person said, downstairs to your car. 3 a.m. He went to the boot of his car. He normally doesn't drive. He has a driver. He dumped everything in the boot of his cars, He had to start driving. He didn't see anybody. He was just receiving instructions. Told him where to drive to. At that time of the night, by that time it was going to around 4 a.m., he drove up to a particular river. On top of the bridge, the person said, stop. So he stopped. To your boot. He went there, gathered the bags, threw them over the bridge into the water. He said he threw the two bags. Now, he was testifying by himself at a full gospel meeting how God delivered him from idolatry. He said, after he finished that, the fellow now said to him, you can go back home. He went back home, and that was the end of it. He said his greatest confusion was in the next 6 months of his life. He said, whoever you are, you have left me naked. Those were his words. Now I'm thoroughly exposed. All the gods he had been serving, they had been taken away from him. It was 6 months later that he finally heard the gospel preached. He now understood who spoke to him. You know, that same person that met Paul on the road to Damascus. Some people think he's out of business. So after I say Paul, I don't do it anymore. No! He still does it. And how did he get to that point? Simply because his wife and his children, they were praying for him. Listen, your prayer will deliver somebody. Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying? You just have to be diligent with it. That's what we're talking about. You just have to be diligent with the prayer. Paul said, why are people's eyes blinded? That's why I remember the story of that man. The man said, look, I've been successful in life. What are you talking about? What can your God do that mine hasn't done for me? You are getting my point? He said, what is it that your God can do that I have not yet experienced, that my God hasn't done for me? Of course, he didn't understand anything about eternal salvation or eternal damnation. He didn't understand it. So he was settled with what those gods could do, which were only for this temporal life. Many of us will pray for our parents if they are sick, aggressively. If they need money, business is not doing well, we take their matter to every prayer group, pray for my father. But if he's not saved, we don't remember. As long as business is doing well and is healthy, I think we have gotten the thing wrong. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? It's important. How do we pray? Like I was saying that day, I remember the prayer points we took. We straight directly addressed the spirit that may have been blinding those who will talk to us. That they will give the people space to hear us that day. Because there was a time that Paul was speaking to one emperor. One man beside him was distracting him. Can you remember that story? Paul got angry. Sometimes we need to get angry with certain spirits. Let me tell you something. Sometimes the prayer you pray, it will have consequences you really won't enjoy. You can finish praying for your father, he falls sick. You didn't pray that he should fall sick. You just said that the God of this world that's blinding you should let him see. And God says, the way I will get his attention is that he should fall sick for a few weeks. Let the doctors get confused. Then he will turn to the Lord so that he might be saved. That will be our introduction, all right, of the gospel to him. It is possible. I'm not saying that will happen. Can pray for your brother. That is when they will sack him from the political party. You are praying for him that he will be saved. But the God of this world that blinded him is the progress he's been making in politics. That's why he has not had time. So God will release a spirit of discord amongst him and his friends. The speaker of the house that they had promised him, last moment they will scheme him out, he will get angry. All the money he has spent will be wasted. He will look back and sit down one day and be dejected. Don't feel bad. You are the one that set him up. Are you not the one that said the God of this world should leave him alone? We must never forget it. The thing that is most important is salvation. So whatever God has to do to get him, to get her to that point of salvation, leave him, let him do it. Your own duty is just to pray and say, Lord, this is my desire and my prayer that my friend will be saved. That's all you can do. You can't force, let me just really say this one. You can't force anybody to be saved. You can't. The fact that the fellow didn't give his life to Christ by next week is not proof that your prayer wasn't answered. Do you understand? What you just pray, Lord, this is my desire that he will be saved. Send laborers into his harvest field. If you have the opportunity, share the word with him. If he doesn't or she doesn't take you serious, don't worry about it. They intensified the other prayer of God. Send laborers into that harvest field. Let somebody be sent that will teach him the gospel. Then third, start fighting the things that blind him. When you have done that, you give the Lord thanks, and that's it. It comes back to your mind again, do it again. These are not prayers you just dispense of. I've prayed it once. Okay, even if you want to say, I've prayed it once, I won't pray it again. Then start giving thanks on each step of the things that you uttered. Lord, that he will be saved. Lord, I thank you because you helped me when I prayed for my brother the other day. I am thanking you because I know you are working on his salvation in the name of Jesus Christ. I thank you because somebody is being prepared, being sent to go and talk. Listen, that is the most important thing people need. Until we get that point, we won't pray with passion about that matter. That is the most important thing. Listen, let me just say it to us one more time. The fact is that you are not sure that if you don't pray, somebody else will pray for the person. You know, I said that one before. Those who take time out to pray for people, they are not common. Most people are actually praying that he will die. You know why? They go to a church where the enemies must die. I warned you, you must not pray that nonsense prayer. Let me say it again. It is nonsense prayer. All this when you wake up at night, firing Holy Ghost fire against the enemies and using the word die. Die. Why don't you use the word save, 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 be saved? All my enemies, you will believe the gospel in the name of Jesus. You will be saved. That is a more effective prayer. If you keep on shouting, die, die, die against your enemy, you will die sooner than you are supposed to die. I will prove it to you. Just watch me. Just watch. Because he that doesn't show mercy will not obtain mercy. As somebody has offended you and you are saying you should die, so have you offended somebody else. So when you are shouting, die, 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 somebody says, you see, he's also saying die. For all these offenses, he too has to what? Die. And the Lord is a just God, though. Okay, if you have never offended anybody, put up your hand. Don't bother. Because you'll just die now if you just put up your hand. For lying. Some of us are joining people that are afraid. They are ruled by fear. As far as they are concerned, they can't prosper as long as their enemies are alive. Again, which is a lie. What does the Bible say? He prepares the table before me in the presence of my enemies, not after my enemies died. In the presence of my enemies. That's the scripture you should quote. If you have enemies, tell them, say, ha. The Lord, in fact, if I don't have enemies, the scripture cannot be fulfilled. So Lord, please raise a few enemies so that you can fulfill that particular portion of the Bible. Because you said it's in the presence of your enemies, of my enemies. If I don't have any, then how will you fulfill that? I hope you are getting my point. Please, I'm trying to emphasize something. Don't waste your energy on prayers that don't do you any good. They only prove in the realm of the spirit that you are afraid. Don't waste your time on such prayers. That is what I am trying to explain. What should you spend your time on things like this? That your enemy in the office. The only one reason why God made him your enemy, your so-called enemy, is so that maybe you will have mercy on him. And when you go and pray for your friend, you will remember him and say, Lord, this is my enemy. He too needs to be saved. Don't forget, Paul was the number one enemy of the church. True of us?
True.
He was the one that coordinated the stoning to death of Stephen. Thank God Stephen was not in any of our churches. Stephen would have said, Lord, for every stone they cast at me, upon their children and their grandchildren, avenge this blood. Let them all die. 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 Listen, people who want to be judged, they will be judged in the appropriate time. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
No, that's a scripture. You can't do anything about it. I believe in prophesying against evil. Evil. Not as my enemy, but evil. A spirit of corruption in the society, we address it. We speak against people who want to engineer it to continue. But somebody's my personal enemy. No, I don't have that time. I don't have that time. It's not scripture. Stephen looked at those who were stoning him to death and said, Lord, please don't take note of this thing they have done. And one of our brothers, though, they said that was the reason, that was what saved Paul. Yeah, that's what one brother said when we were in school, he was teaching us. He said that was the conversion prayer for Saul, who became Paul. Because, and there's a scripture for it. A grain of wheat, when it's alive, it abides alone. But when it dies, it brings forth what? Much fruit. See, what did Stephen teach? Nothing. He shared one sermon and killed him. Then when he germinated as Paul. Are you getting my point? When he germinated as Paul. Revelation. Do you get my point? They killed Paul. Paul said, Lila, I can't die yet. The stoning that they stoned Stephen that he died, they did the same stoning on Paul. The man did not die. He so didn't die, he walked back to the city. Why? I believe the foundation was a man looked and said, Lord, forgive him. Stephen prayed that prayer. You and I enjoying it today. But our own, they know. I'm going to kill all my enemies. The fact is, we are afraid. They are, you know, we have all kinds of nonsense we practice. Some people believe that, you know, it was after my grandmother died that I finally had children. You know, when you are confessing your sins publicly, you don't know it. You'll be confessing your sin publicly. That my God is so weak, so powerless. He could not override small witchcraft for my grandmother. Hey, they have confessed. The people who were responsible for my 8-year sickness have finally confessed. What happened? I now got well. Hear me. Eh? I'm the one telling you. Next year, a 17-year sickness is about to start on your life. You will wait 17 years before the next round of confession. Forget that nonsense. Somebody needs to they punish you for 8 years. At the end of the 8th year, they confess, then your deliverance came. You are a sinner. There are things that even if they happen, you'll be too ashamed. It's like me, it's like Pastor Banky, why is your face swollen? Nothing, don't worry about it. Later when I hear that, I want 6-year-old boy beat me for road. What happened to me? So that's why your face is swollen like this. Yes, so how old? 6 years. The boy beat me. I know if you talk. You know, you're gonna think it's a joke. That is how we insult ourselves when we say witches are the reasons why we didn't make progress for 8 years. Why did I go there? I think somebody did that. Because you know the way I just diverted. Let me get back to what I was saying. So that's how we pray for those that we love. All right? Let me just get back to it. Let's not waste our energy on things that don't edify. That is how we pray for those who are not believers. And because the most important thing, of course, in their lives is that they are saved. Now, let me go from there and go to the next one. How to pray for people that you love. What if the person is a Christian, at least you, that's your assumption. The person has given his life to Christ. The person goes to church and professes to be a true believer. This is one thing that we all need. And that is a foundation, that's a fundamental thing we must pray for the people that we love if they are believers. Quickly, I'd like to use the words of the elder John, the 3rd epistle of John. It's only one chapter. Where I want to read is the early verses. He said that Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. You see that even though the words were turned the other way around, the first thing there is the prosperity of the soul. True or false? All right. Now, what is that prosperity of the soul? It's in verse 3. He said, "For I was very glad when brethren came and testified to your truth, that is, how you are walking in truth." He said, "I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children walking in the truth." Please notice that. Look at the way it goes. One, I want you to prosper and be in good health as your soul prospers. That is, first of all, is the prosperity of your soul. He now went ahead to explain what he meant when he says your soul is prospering. That in verse 3, brethren came and testified that you walk in truth. That's what he was saying. You walk in truth. And there's no greater joy I have than when I have my children walking in the truth. Let me turn it upside down from my own personal experience. The greatest sadness for me currently is when I hear Christians walking in darkness. When they are walking in under the influence of a lie. And that is what is common today. We finished a series of teaching the other day, the war against unbelief. And the last one I talked about, the war against ignorance. I testify that the amount of ignorance that Christians have walked in recent times, and I want to put past tense, has been very tremendous. It's so bad that I wonder how God feels. Christians are tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. I told the last one I heard. One of our sisters said, a brother forwarded it to me, that one of them, let's watch Christian TV. They tuned the Christian TV. And they said, send your first fruits at this time of the year. And I think they said, like, you have to do first fruit like 3 times. But that this one is very important for a 100-fold harvest. Why? Because the full moon, what do you call it now? Blood moon. The full blood moon is about to come. So when you send in your offering now, 100-fold harvest is guaranteed. And he said, okay, send in your offering. You know, Dan, that's not the issue. Anybody can want to defraud you. The one that is a big deal is that people actually fall for it. That's the one I can't understand. You sit in your house, somebody says, send a quick offering for 100-fold return because blood moon is about to show. And you believe it. You know, before I used to just get angry. Why do people believe such things? But right now I understand why they believe it. Because they don't know better. They are defrauded every day. Every time we preachers need money, we bring somebody to come and collect it. And they come with all kinds of stories. There are 17 people today that God said by next week they are going to be millionaires. And they have to give 1 million in advance. And you see muguns, you know, responding. Jesus Christ. It hurts my soul, I'm telling you. It pains me. Listen, you have any Christian, a friend? If I forget even the money they're collecting from them. The most annoying one are the ones who are afraid of witches. Christians are afraid of evil witches. You know, I talk about it all the time. Please, not my fault. I know some of you are tired. Pastor, find something else to talk about. But what will I do? This thing is out there all the time. My wife was telling me a story. I don't know how many of you heard the story. They said one woman testified that her husband gave money to a beggar inside a bus. And his journey disappeared from the south-south zone. If you come to where I am, you give that testimony, I will personally beat you. I will put you on suspension. You will cut grass. And they now went to my side and praying. I'm praying. What happened? Jesus Christ. There is no man that his journey has not disappeared at one point or the other. Chuk is here, like, when cold catch you, you know they disappear. Somebody will not try to tell him that it's because he gave money. I said something to you here a few days ago. I say it again. God in heaven does not ever allow it to happen. That something you give somebody out of charity, love, they will take it to a cult and use it to harm you. It can't happen. You can disband the coven by giving all of them gifts. When they eat your food, they lose power. And like I said, that's even second heaven level. We're not even talking about when you hide in Christ. What nonsense don't I hear these days? You want to pray for your friend that's a Christian. That's what I'm talking about. The first thing you pray is that the fellow will understand truth. Your friend doesn't need a husband yet. She needs truth. It is not children she needs. She needs truth. Please, this is number one prayer point. Look, go and read Paul. There's something that Paul used to do. Quickly open to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. When Paul wanted to pray, he wanted to pray for the church. Some of them in that church were broke. Some didn't have money, I'm sure. Some dead jobs. But he didn't start with that. He started from this particular point, verse 16. He said, "For this reason also, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus which exists among you, and your love for all the saints, I do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe." He now went ahead to explain that these are in accordance with the working of the strength of his mind, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him up from the dead and all of that. Then let me continue reading that. What I want to emphasize is that when Paul wanted to pray for these people, he had just one prayer point. He prayed that God would give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation in verse 18, that the eyes of their heart or the eyes of their understanding may be enlightened, so that they will know the things that are theirs, in summary, in Christ Jesus. He was not praying for healing. He was not praying for other things. The first and most important thing he prayed for was that they would have understanding. Listen. The Bible says that good understanding brings favor. Now, those who don't walk in understanding, the Bible calls them transgressors. It says the way of transgressors that's hard. Sometimes you have a friend, he and his wife, they're always quarreling. So every day, what do? You need that you pray for them that there will be peace in their home. You know, peace is good. Amen?
Amen?
But that's not what they need. If they are believers, what they need is understanding. If you forcefully pray peace into that home, it lasts a week. By the following week, they are back to it. Let me say something to you about devils. You can forcefully drive a devil out, but the Bible says he will come back. And when he comes back with seven spirits more wicked than himself. What keeps the devil out, all right, is the infusion of the spirit that comes by understanding, that comes to the hearts of the people. Do you get my point? That is what keeps the devil out. Number one thing you pray for a believer that you want to pray for, once you think the person is a Christian, he goes to any church, he said, "God, please, give this my friend, my brother, my sister, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, that he will know that he has overcome the devil and he can prosper even if he has enemies." I first learned of this prayer when Ken Hagin taught us, when we used to read his books. He said when he started praying these prayers for himself, in 6 months, he made so much, advancement. He accomplished so much advancement in spiritual understanding that he wondered what he had been preaching for all the years before that time. Do you get the point I'm making? Why? Because the most important thing that we need is what? Understanding. So if you are praying for somebody who's a believer, please, that's where you start your prayer from. Sometimes we get carried away by the distractions of life. Listen, Jesus said something. He said, "Take no thought for the morrow as to what you shall eat, what you shall drink, and wherewith all shall we be clothed." He now said, "All after these things, the Gentiles do what? Seek." He said, "For if your heavenly Father knows that you need them, Now listen to this. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and what? His righteousness, and all other things will be added to you. This is what I keep on saying. If some things have not been added to you, it is a sign you are not seeking what is right. So instead of focusing, you want to pray for somebody. Instead of focusing excessively on the thing that they don't have, your primary focus should be on the things they don't know. Did you hear what I said? Oh, let me quickly add this on to it. That includes me also. Remember, by me. You are listening to me preach this evening. When you pray for me, one of the prayer points that will be first in your list is, God, give him more understanding than he had before. I know I thought he knew something. That's why I come to listen to you. If you didn't think I knew anything, you won't come here. So we can take that one for granted. You thought I knew something. But you know I don't yet know as I ought to know. Is that not true? Oh, God, please give him plenty of money. Money is good, amen? I'm not saying it's bad. You can pray that one also, but after. Yes, the primary thing is that he needs to know more than he knows already. I'm serious. That's just the way it is. That is the first thing you pray for when you're praying for somebody that you care about. Back to what I was saying. In today's Christianity, the ignorance is so plenty. I think we should take it as a special prayer point for the whole Church of Christ. We have the way of elevating spiritual mediocrity. All you need to do is tune TV. You just wonder, say, like that one I was telling you about blood moon and offering. I told the brother, I said, do these people believe these things or is it a joke? Listen, Chris, we've talked about how to pray for loved ones that are unbelievers, or even if they go to church, you're not sure they are believers. They have consciously given their lives to Christ. And number two, praying for those who are believers. I'll develop this further next time. The most important thing that a believer needs is understanding in the knowledge of Christ. He needs to know what Christ has done for him or done for her. Are you getting my point? The problem we have in this life, the other day I was talking to one of our sisters. She said that until she lived with my wife and I, she had made up her mind she would never marry in this life. What was her reason? Because of the example that her father and her mother set before her. So just decided that this marriage is not worth it. I don't know why people bother. Then God arranged, she came to live with us for about 3 months, or when she came to town. And then they said that was when her mind changed. Say, okay, this Bible is actually correct. It is good. It is better for Adam to be married than the way he was. Not good for him to be alone. Now, what I'm going to say, sometimes you see things like that presented before people, they hold on to such things. Yeah, in fact, maybe you like the woman. You've been chasing her for 2 years. She can't agree. What you don't know is that what she's having to deal with. You think that it's because you are not good enough. You are more than good enough. But she has an example before her eyes, all right, that has destroyed any hope of her ever entering into this institution. What do you think she needs? She needs money? Oh, you know, God, give her a husband. That's not what she needs. She needs her eyes to be open to another aspect of life. All right? One of the problems with people, listen, this is a matter of fact. You may see a man struggling every day. Every time he works hard, things don't break even. You know, things don't work out well. He keeps on working hard. You think what he needs is money. God, give him breakthrough. No. God said, you don't know. His problem is that deep inside his heart, he has equated prosperity with unrighteousness. You see him laboring morning, afternoon, and night. Because a man must work. But deep inside his heart, he says that all these rich people, they are in cult. They have, he has equated it. So he struggles morning, afternoon, and night. You are praying to God for him. God, give him breakthrough. God says, me too, I want to. The issue is that I can't. Why? His heart is locked against it. What do I do? Then you pray for him, that his eyes will be open. That's why I said understanding is what believers need. If you see things clearly, they flow into your life naturally. When Elisha was up there, relaxed, why was his servant afraid? Because his servant had not seen. So Elisha didn't pray for him, God, please, let him not be afraid. He said what? Open his eyes. The moment his eyes were open, he saw that there was protection around them. So they're looking at the soldiers. Which one are they fine? Suddenly, do you understand my point? Confidence came into his life. Why? Because of what he saw. Listen, blindness is the reason why we don't receive our inheritance. That is it. It's the things we have not seen. That is the reason why we don't receive what belongs to us. You want to pray for a Christian? That is where you start. That's the foundation. Sometimes when you hear some people talk, you say, God, this breakthrough is far from this man, it's far from this woman. What does the person need? Understanding. Again, that's, you know, just like you say, send preachers. This time around, you can say, Lord, lead this man, lead this woman to the teacher that will teach him the truth. Send him the teacher that will liberate him from this bondage of ignorance. A simple prayer, separate him from this darkness. Send him laborers. You know, send laborers. You know, he said, I will give you pastors after my heart who will feed you with knowledge and with understanding. Say, Lord, my brother needs it. You see Christians say, you want to travel? Don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody. You don't see things like that. You want to travel, you're telling your people, your mother says, don't tell anybody. You say, why not? You know human beings are wicked. What would they do? They'll go and wait for you on the road. Let them go and wait now. There are Christians who still behave like that till today. Ask your neighbor. Hope is not you. All right, the Lord is good. If you are an overcomer in Christ Jesus, give me an amen.
Amen.
If you know you are free, totally in Christ Jesus, give me an amen.
Amen.
Let's rise to our feet. Quickly, let us close. Let us close. I hope we've learned something today. All right, let's begin to give the Lord thanks. Say, Lord, I thank you. I thank you. Thank you for... If I keep on saying that, say, Lord, I thank you for liberty. I thank you because I'm free in Christ Jesus. I thank you because I'm free in Christ Jesus. I thank you because in Christ Jesus, I've been made totally free. I've been made totally free. I've been made totally free. Say, Lord, I thank you because I'm free in Christ Jesus. Let's just take a minute at this point. Just exactly 1 minute. I gave 2 sets of prayer points. There are 2 people in your mind. Quickly take them one by one and pray the prayer for them. One of them, you don't think the person is a believer. Begin to pray for the person. Just in your own words now. Just in your own words. Mention the fellow by name. God has given. When the word comes for, it stirs up faith in your heart. You know what to pray for. Say, Lord, my desire for my brother, my friend, is that he will be saved. And how do we accomplish that? Say, Lord, send a preacher to him. Open his heart to understand, to receive the word when it comes. Say, I rebuke the influence of the God of this world in his life. I command him to move back from him, that he will have understanding in that gospel, the gospel of the glory of Christ when it comes to him. In the name of Jesus, pray for that person. Say, Lord, salvation is what I ask for him, for her, for them. Can be your whole family. I want you to know, even if the man is an oluwo in a cult, the depth of occultism, Jesus is not afraid of entering into the place. Request the blessing of God upon that whole family of yours. You are the only one that has the light. But everybody goes to church, you know. But the personal relationship with Jesus, they don't have yet. In Jesus' name we are praying. Now, second one, again, first, the second prayer point, take it for yourself, because it's also important. And then for a friend, for a family member, for somebody that's close to you. Say, Lord, more light. Give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. Sometimes you know somebody, you have a friend, is morbidly afraid of the dark, of witches, always chasing enemies. Say, Lord, it's because she, he, or they do not know what I know. And that's because we are free in Christ. I understand it. Lord, help him to know it also. You have a friend that's chasing money, morning, afternoon, and night. It's because he doesn't understand that God gives grace to prosper. So Lord, let him, let her understand it. That the fellow will settle down, follow the plan of God for his or her life. Pray that prayer for your friend. Let's give the Lord thanks because he has heard us. This is the confidence we have towards him. When we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Say, Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for you have heard us. Just give him thanks. In the name of Jesus Christ.